Support for this podcast is provided by Willow, a video interviewing platform for scaling businesses. As the talent market evolves, you're probably thinking about how to build a more inclusive candidate experience that doesn't require long days on Zoom, Teams, or Skype. Willow is a virtual interviewing platform where candidates can record responses on their own time using video, audio, or text. And it's used by some of the fastest growing businesses like Coinbase, Hotjar, and HelloFresh. Willow's flexible platform means candidates can truly be themselves, and recruiters get a consistent, transparent process. It's also excellent for the candidate experience. 35% of candidates interview with Willow between the hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Willow also integrates seamlessly with over 5,000 business applications such as Workday, Workable, Lever, Greenhouse, and TeamTailor. There's a free trial to try everything, and if you need more, Willow's tailored plans include features to help you expand your talent pool and streamline recruiting operations, all with 24/7 live support. Request a personalized demo today at willow.video. That's willow.video.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 504 of the Recruiting Future podcast. In 2013, I wrote a report on the future of asynchronous video interviewing. While a few employers were experimenting with it, there was widespread skepticism about its usefulness and longevity. Fast forward 10 years, and we're literally living in a different world. Post-pandemic, video now sits at the center of the working day for many of us, and asynchronous video interviewing is most certainly here to stay. So, how are candidate attitudes towards video evolving? What problems is video interviewing solving for employers? And how will things develop in the future? My guests this week are the perfect people to answer these questions and give us a deep dive into the market. Phil Strazula is founder of Select Software Reviews, and Ewan Cameron is CEO at Willow. Keep listening for a mix of practical advice and informed insights about the future of video interviewing. Hi, Ewan. Hi, Phil. Welcome back to the podcast, both of you. Could we just start with you both introducing yourselves and telling us what you do? Maybe, Ewan, you can go first.
Thanks for having us on again, Matt. It's nice to speak. So I am the CEO and co-founder of Willow, and Willow is an asynchronous video interviewing platform. We founded in January 2020, and over the past 3 years have successfully raised over $3 million. We just closed our most recent round there. And today we have over 10,000 paying users in 140 countries.
Fantastic stuff. And Phil, could you do the same?
Sure. Thanks for having me again. My name is Phil Strazula. I run a website called Select Software Reviews, where HR and recruiting teams can research what tools to buy, anything from applicant tracking systems through artificial intelligence.
Fantastic stuff. Now, I'm going to start by my first question I'm going to ask to you, Phil, because I think the development video interviewing over the last few years has been really interesting and obviously, you know, quite phenomenal, fueled by the pandemic. How do you feel the category has developed, and what have you seen happen since the pandemic?
Yeah, it's really cool. Actually, like 12 years ago, I was a venture capital analyst, and I remember I spent like 6 months looking at video interview companies. And back then, like companies were like sending webcams to the candidates, which is kind of hilarious. And then, you know, everybody had webcams and we got comfortable on video and all this stuff. And now it's like very much a part of most, I would say, or many talent acquisition teams' repertoires. During the pandemic, it exploded because we had to do it remotely. And I think that a lot of TA teams kind of came around to, you know, the folks that maybe hadn't thought about it too much were forced to think about it. and realized like, hey, this is actually a really good candidate experience. It's great for us because we're servicing applicants that maybe would have passed on a resume, but they have a presence, they have an interesting story. The resume is extremely incomplete sort of artifact when we think about somebody's professional past and capabilities. So I think the big story around the pandemic was just a more pervasive utilization of this tool.
I completely forgotten about the company that used to mail webcams to people. Yeah, that's such a interesting kind of snapshot how far things have come in a sort of a relatively short period of time, I suppose. Ewan, tell us a little bit more about your kind of backstory, why you sort of founded a video interviewing company, and also perhaps how you've seen the reaction of people sort of change towards it over time, particularly over the last sort of 2 years.
Absolutely. So I remember the webcam mailing days as well. And if we cast back to 2014, that was when I had my moment to experience video interviewing for the first time. Back in 2014, I'm hiring candidates, salespeople, junior salespeople for a startup at the time. And I was getting all these CVs in or resumes in, and I was struggling to find the people that had the passion, the energy and the drive and the willingness to learn from the CVs, obviously. So I started asking people for videos, and it was way back in 2014. I'm asking people to record a video of themselves speaking. Now we think about that now and we think, well, that's really easy. You just pick up your smartphone and you would just switch the camera on and you would hit record. And that was really easy. But back in 2014, it was a whole different ball game. You know, you had to connect your webcam. You had to like download some recording software. You know, you had to figure out how to actually transfer the file because it was normally a big file if you wanted to send it. So it was really clunky, but I started asking people to send me in videos, and I said 3 minutes. So I said, can you send me a 3-minute video introducing yourself and why you would be perfect for this job? And it was kind of that moment when I started receiving these videos in from people that I realized that there was something in this concept. And it was over the course of that year. So I'm hiring, you know, a number of salespeople over that year. It was over the course of that year that I'm receiving all these videos in. They're coming in all shapes and formats as well. So you can imagine, like, you know, tiny little thumbnail videos that have been recorded on like the smartphones back in 2014. We had lots of sideways videos because they didn't know how to use their webcams properly. We had lots of videos that just wouldn't open because they were attached to like Word documents and things. It was a real mess. But the videos that did come through that I could actually watch, it was really eye-opening. I could immediately, you know, see that drive, determination, passion, willingness to learn. That allowed me to really fast track them straight into final stage or even straight into offer sometimes, depending on what they were saying and what the team thought as well. I used to share the videos around the team, and then we used to, you know, take them in and get them trained up. So that was way back then. I then, you know, did that for a number of years, just asking people to send in videos through email, nothing sophisticated about it. And then we got to like 2017, 2018, and I decided to have a go at making this video interview concept into a more robust system and a SaaS platform that people could actually use, and candidates, most importantly, could use as well. Because it was creating a bit of a bottleneck, me asking for all these videos, as you would imagine. So decided to create this platform in 2017, built it 2019, and then launched it 2020. I guess the evolution I've seen over the past 2 years in particular is just the willingness to record yourself on video. If I cast back to 2019, when I'm doing candidate interviews, I'm doing like, you know, a few hundred candidate interviews, just randomly, you know, asking candidates all stages of the application process, hey, if you were to do this on video, what would it look like? How would you feel? All that kind of stuff. The biggest kind of pushback at the time, 2019, pre-pandemic, was, I don't know where these videos are going to go. I don't really like the idea of seeing myself on camera, let alone talking on camera. And all the kind of, all the objections that we obviously overcame over the past 2 years were coming up and again and again and again. Then obviously COVID came along and everyone switched to video calls literally overnight. And it wasn't just a specific demographic or a specific age group either. It was the entire world switched to video calls. And that was really quite, you know, mind blowing for us as a very tiny startup video interviewing platform to see that radical shift where our our end users, our candidates, or our end users were suddenly comfortable, you know, happy with the process, didn't have any questions anymore, didn't have any objections anymore. Completely changed.
Do you think there's an expectation now amongst candidates that they just expect to do video? And if they didn't, that would be strange. If, you know, they had to do all their interviews face to face or just on the telephone. Do you think there's an expectation now that it should be video?
Depends on the person. So if you've been, we've done a few studies on this. We get really interesting insights from candidates. If we ask them a survey at the end of the interview, we do get a lot of responses. So it's really interesting to see. If candidates have been through the traditional interview process and the traditional hiring process, you know, pre-2019, a lot of them will still expect to have, you know, face-to-face meetings or telephone calls. But people that have come into the hiring process in the past 3 years, they don't really know anything else. So yeah, they're kind of expecting video, and video is the norm. And I think what we'll see over the next few years is that more and more people will just be accepting video as the way. I think that's really important as well, because as you know, we speak about all the time in Willow here, the ability to actually cast a wider net is obviously there when you start using video rather than inviting people into an office. You remove a lot of, like, you know, transport, travel issues, geography issues, all that kind of stuff, time zone issues are all gone. So I think it's a good thing.
Phil, just coming back to you, I suppose two questions in one, really. What are the kind of problems that you are seeing employers solve by using video interviewing? And also, just in terms of, I suppose, the systems, is there a case to have, you know, standalone systems like Willow and integrated systems? Are they integrated systems that do other things as well? What's the kind of view? What's the sort of the split? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question. And actually, as Ewan started talking, I realized that this candidate experience thing is a really important trend. When I was in business school in 2013, Sequoia, which is, you know, like the best venture capital firm in the world, was recruiting on campus, and they had backed one of these video interview companies, one of the early ones, and they sent people a link as the first step in the process. And it was like a scandal on campus. You know, it was like, oh my, how dare they? Like, they don't even want to talk to me. And I think, well, one, you know, if you're recruiting for like executives or whatever, like, you know, you're probably going to, you know, set up something more formal. But two, it just like shows how far this has come, where now it's like just so standard. Anyway, sorry, to your question, I think the main pain points are, one, around time. So how do we effectively, you know, vet lots of candidates, and how do we do it in a way that makes sure we're not missing people? And then two, how do we also enhance the resume? Because when you look at a resume, there's some stuff there, but like realistically, you know, there's been a lot of research that shows like it's not the best way to hire people. Certainly based on, you know, what somebody chooses to write down as bullets, and some people are great marketers and some people aren't. And so I think those are the two main problems. And so when I think about, you know, the value propositions, it's decreasing time and increasing quality of hire, which both of which are extremely important. There's probably a time to fill ROI in there as well, depending on how you're using video interviewing. But I think those are sort of like the big buckets. In terms of these tools, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of value in using a point solution that is really, really good. If a company goes deep on something, they're going to have all these teeny tiny product issues ironed out, that if it's just a module and it's product manager at some larger company running the video interview platform, they're not going to be as focused on the details. And they're also, I guess, like, I'm a big believer in sort of the economic incentives of things. Like, they're just not economically incentivized to stress out over every little piece of the puzzle. And so something like Willow, that's sort of, you know, really focused on by an entrepreneur, it's going to be just a better product. So I think there's a huge need, and my understanding as well, and Ewan can correct me, is that, you know, it's not like you're buying this product and it sits on an island. It's actually integrated with probably the systems that you're already using, like your applicant tracking system.
Absolutely. Ewan, coming back to you, and I suppose, again, that kind of problem question, you know, what problems are you seeing your customers, you know, solve, I suppose, you know, recruiting problems that they have solve with the system? And then I suppose to follow up from that, obviously, lots of organizations are using video interviewing by default because they've been doing it since the pandemic and they've not changed it. Many of them will be using things like Zoom and Teams and other generic platforms. What's the case for using a specialist platform?
Sure. I'll answer the first question first, which is why customers, you know, come to us and what problems are they solving? And I think that's a really interesting question. There's a couple of key ones there. Phil mentioned the first one a minute ago, which is time. So a lot of the customers that we work with, their TA departments are typically, you know, under-resourced, and time is super valuable to them. And if they're spending a lot of time doing, for example, telephone screening calls, or they're scheduling in those telephone calls, or they're scheduling in Zoom or Teams calls, and then they're having to conduct those, it's super time-consuming. And just as you were talking, actually, I just ran some quick numbers last month, just to kind of put this into perspective in terms of the time element. We saved 37,000 hours of time for our users, which, if we just equate that to hourly salaries, that's like $900,000 of salary saved. And that's a huge time save. Biggest reason for that is that obviously you're automating the scheduling because there is no scheduling. Candidates can do the interview whenever they like. And then the other part of the puzzle is that obviously doing it asynchronously, they're in charge of when they do the interview. So they're actually going through the steps and answering the questions in their own time. And that, combined with the scheduling, is a huge amount of time. If you think about a traditional, you know, first stage interview, you spend 10, 15 minutes scheduling, and then you spend half an hour actually on the call, speaking to the candidate. And then you maybe have a 15 minute wrap up. So you're looking at an hour per candidate. Whereas if you jump into something like Willow, you're looking at an average of 10 minutes per interview. If you look at the average number of questions and the amount of time that a candidate takes to answer. So 10 minutes versus an hour, it's a significant amount of time saved. But on the flip side, it's also a significant amount of time saved for the candidate, because they are also having to be part of that 1 hour time. And it's amazing to see the sort of, you know, the employer realizes at first, but then after a few months of using Willow, they realize, hey, the candidate feedback is really good here, because candidates are telling us that they can do this, obviously, in their evening, in their own time. It doesn't take up a bunch of their time. They don't have to take time off work, all that kind of stuff. So time is definitely the number one thing that we're talking about here for both the employer and the candidate, which is great. But then we delve into more, you know, deeper kind of meaningful stuff that we, you know, speak about every day, which is diversity and inclusion as a perfect example. So diversity and inclusion, when using something like an asynchronous video interviewing platform, allows you to really open up a wider net than you traditionally would be able to. If you're asking, for example, for candidates to send in a CV and then come into your office for a first stage interview, you're immediately excluding a number of different, you know, groups of people, whether it's minority groups or just types of workers. For example, if you're a shift worker and you are invited to an interview, you know, in the middle of your shift, you might not be able to go to that interview and you just miss out on the opportunity because you need the money, potentially from that shift. Or perhaps you live, you know, in the countryside and the interview is in a city. Again, you're being discriminated against there because you might not be able to make it into the city. And then we go into, you know, like different types of minority groups. They may not have, for example, access to the same, you know, education. So then that comes up on their CV or the resume, and they're immediately, you know, screened out at that point. Whereas using something like video, that person can put themselves forward for who they really are, and give you a more deep and meaningful conversation and understanding of who they are. So I think diversity and inclusion and opening up that wider net and casting that wider net is important. You're also, a final point here for me before I talk for too long on this point, but I think neurodiversity is a really interesting piece as well. So when we look at the traditional interview can be quite discriminating for people with, you know, disabilities or neurodiversity and learning issues or challenges. So for example, I'm a dyslexic person, and so is my co-founder. Being dyslexic means that it's really quite challenging to write a CV or a cover letter. And both of those documents are really structured, and that's even more difficult for a dyslexic person because structure and organization is not a strong point. So, you know, asking somebody to do a CV when they're dyslexic immediately puts them on the back foot and actually disadvantages them. Whereas using a tool like asynchronous video interviewing platform, you get to hear from me and who I really am rather than what my writing skills are like, which is not essential to most jobs anyway. So that would probably be the kind of key benefits. So time saving, productivity obviously increases, better candidate experience, which is what everyone wants, and better diversity and inclusion, just by casting a wider net and accepting people for who they really are rather than what they write on a piece of paper.
Ewan, this is sort of a random question, but and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I'm sort of curious, like, it seems intuitive that an interview would be a much better signal than a resume. And therefore, by utilizing that sort of technology, you'd have a better hiring outcome. And I don't know if like there's ever been a study done that shows that that is true or false.
Good question. So I can give an anonymous example. We have a client, which I haven't got permission to share without asking them, but I can give you the example anyway. And it was quite a large employer in the UK, and the employer, and this is just one example, there is a few, but this is a really strong one, I think. They previously used an application and a resume as their, you know, their first stage of screening. And what they found doing that was that they always ended up with the same people. They always ended up with the same, you know, applicants in the process, and they always limited the number. So they always ended up with, like, I don't know, a specific cohort of person, you know, between this age and this age, you know, white male potentially with a certain education and background, and they only ended up with a certain number of those people. They actually switched to using a video at the very start of the process. So they said, let's not ask for application forms to be filled in. Let's not ask for resumes. Let's ask all of these candidates just to complete 3 or 4 questions on video. We'll take it from there and we'll use that as the screening basis. And I think 3 of them reviewed each of the videos and had their own scoring metrics behind the scenes, but they were using the videos as the sort of, you know, the collection method for data rather than a resume. And what they found was that they actually, first of all, got a more diverse pool of applicants, but they also, for the first time ever, reduced their time to hire, and they reduced their time to hire by a third. So this was an organization, quite an old organization, been around for, you know, many, many, many years. And they did this every year, and they always had the same outcome. And it was, you know, the same people every year, and it took the same amount of time for time to hire. But they reduced their time to hire by a third immediately by using this process. But they also, more importantly, opened up their pool of applicants to a much more diverse audience, which is amazing.
That's a really interesting outcome. And I think it really speaks to what happens when you start to change the recruitment process. Then you start to get these kind of different outcomes. Just to sort of return to the second half of my question there about companies who, you know, are doing video interviewing, but may still be using Teams or Zoom or those kind of things. Now, you know, obviously, bar the obvious thing that the Teams never works properly. What do you say to companies like that to persuade them to move off Zoom and some of the other platforms that are on there?
And Zoom never works for me either. I think the key thing for those kind of conversations is that recruiters will burn themselves out if they sit on Zoom all day. It's a really tough job. If you're switching from, you know, doing face-to-face interviews pre-pandemic, you've then gone onto Zoom. If you continue doing Zoom for the rest of your career, you would burn yourself out. It's a tough old gig, staring at a screen for hours on end, talking to candidates. We know, you know, it's a difficult job anyways, you know, interviewing face to face, but put it on Zoom and it's even more difficult because there's a lot of monotony of just sitting there in front of that screen in that same chair. So there's a kind of, you know, burnout element, which we can address quite easily because we take away the monotony of sitting for literally hours. You know, we have customers that come to us and they have their, you know, their TA team will sit for 7-8 hours a day on Zoom speaking to candidates back to back. And that's not going to be a successful future for that team. So one of the key things that we do is we obviously enable them to get away from that by allowing the candidates to record all of these shorter videos and by doing shorter structured videos. So imagine You ask five questions, candidate answers each of those questions. All of the questions are presented to the candidate in the same order. So you can easily compare as well. But more importantly, it's much easier to consume that content because the questions have been presented to each candidate in the same way. So they tend to answer them in a more concise way as well. So you can consume all that information much more quickly and easily. But what's really cool about it as well is that you can actually do that in your own time. So for example, some of our customers will dedicate the morning. So they'll maybe say from 9 to 12, we'll just review our Willow video interviews. And then in the afternoon, we'll have follow-ups and we'll have offers and we'll do maybe face-to-face interviews or Zoom interviews. And it just allows them to really get a huge chunk of their day back to do those other things, which traditionally get pushed out into the evenings or the fringes of the day because they're spent, they spent their entire day on Zoom. So I think time is a massive thing there, and the monotony of sitting on Zoom calls all day is removed, which is, I think, one of the biggest benefits.
Phil, what does the future look like? Right at the beginning, we talked about mailing people webcams and how things have changed over the last decade or so. What do you think the future of this space holds for us?
It's a really good question. And I guess like the topic of the day is artificial intelligence, right? What's interesting about the AI applications in this space, I think maybe not obvious, but like it's clear that some sort of, artificial intelligence can look at a transcript, hear differences in voices, can look at differences in facial expressions and could learn effectively, this person could be a good salesperson because blah, 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 or this person's answer to this question is not very good or really, really good. There's a company in the video interview space that got in trouble for using AI a couple of years ago. There's new regulation actually coming out of New York State, and I think California is close behind them in terms of not allowing automated systems to vet candidates. And I would imagine that there'll be more and more of these sorts of regulations. That said, especially at a first cut, it feels like that sort of technology is going to be like good enough really, really soon to help recruiters, figure it out. And there'll be a sort of a cat and mouse, right? Where it's just like, if you Google for like ATS, the first thing that comes up is like how to game ATSs with your resume, or something like that. Like how to like keyword stuff your resume so that some like resume parsing software puts you at the top of the pile. There'll probably be, voice coaches or whatever, the signals are for these platforms. But I think that something like that is probably like a pretty good first cut. I think another, area of interest for me is other types of assessments. So can you layer, video combined with short answers, multiple choice, maybe technical assessments, et cetera. And then of course, integrating that into the rest of your tech stack. So integrating it with your sourcing, with your applicant tracking, I think is pretty important as well. So that's sort of what I think about when I think about the future. And I'm actually really curious to hear your guys' take on this AI stuff and the future in general, but also how that sort of technology is going to play a role.
I'm just wondering whether people will be submitting deepfake AI videos. What do you think, Ewan? What do you think the future holds for us in this space?
So we actually just we're just working on an update at the moment, which will stop candidates from inputting ChatGPT answers into Willow because we accept text answers. So we do text, audio, video, and text answers will soon. You won't be able to paste in your ChatGPT answers, which will be amazing. I'll cover that in another call. It's quite cool though. But yeah, we're going to be able to stop that, which would be good. In terms of the AI piece that Phil mentioned there, we, because of our friends that were in a legal case, made that conscious decision back in 2019 not to do any screening or any decision making with AI around the candidate. And I think that is our stance still, and it'll be our stance in the future as well. What we're trying to do here is connect, good people with good people. And I think there's a huge amount of time saving already been done just with the process of asynchronous that we don't need to reduce the time even further. We just need to put, candidates in front of recruiters and help them make decisions as quickly as possible. So there's not a place for AI in Willow when it comes to candidate screening and decision making, but there is a place for AI in the communication with candidates. So for example, one of the biggest challenges, and it's been a challenge forever, is candidates don't get feedback when they interview. And that's typically bugbear number one from candidates is I never heard back. One of the pieces which we're trying to solve in the next few months is how you can help recruiters get back to the candidates through AI. So we actually will construct a response for the recruiter, which they can obviously add their own personal feedback into, and then it will automatically get sent out to the candidate so that every candidate is getting feedback. Because that's, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we hear from recruiters is, hey, I would love to get back to all these candidates, particularly the ones that, you know, didn't pass this round, but they could in future, but I just don't have the time. So, you know, being able to give them some time back and actually building and composing responses to candidates on, you know, both the accept and the reject side is definitely somewhere which AI will play a part in Willow in the next few months, which will be really cool. And we'll build that out over a number of years. But the kind of first iteration is let's start building out these suggested responses, which I think will really close a big gap, which has been around for too long, which is particularly in the rejection space when they're not getting back feedback.
As a final question to both of you, one of the themes that's kind of run through this whole conversation, and actually not just this whole conversation, loads of podcast interviews that I've done in the last few years, is just how inadequate resumes, CVs, depending on which part of the world you're in, really are. And I think we'd struggle to find anyone to come on and stand up for them as, you know, an absolutely brilliant way to do recruiting, but everyone still uses them. Do we think that we dare speak of the death of the resume now? Do you think that, you know, with video, with AI, with everything that's going on, we're finally moving to a higher form of recruiting? Phil, you can take this one first.
I think the momentum is too strong. I would love to make some big, bold prediction about the future, but realistically, it's just like the way things have been done for so long. There probably will be some startup that figures out, you know, like LinkedIn is essentially your resume on the internet, right? But I think there'll be some sort of like, you know, pie metrics, sort of like crazy, like assessment thing that like is like extremely easy for people to do, but like super deep and insightful, that becomes like perhaps a new CV for you. And I mean, one of the ideas here is like a portable track record from other jobs where maybe, you know, you're able to export like your feedback and stuff from like one of these OKR systems, performance management. I think there's actually like a lot of ways you could attack this problem. And I'm sure there are dozens of startups trying to do it right now. But I think at the end of the day, it's just like, it's like good enough. And then it's being augmented in really amazing ways by technologies like Willow. And so, if you wanted to make a bet in like 5 years, you know, are we going to see the death of the resume? I would definitely say no.
It's a no from you, but obviously augmented and changed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Ewan, what's your view?
It's similar to Phil. So
I wanted someone to come out and you know, declare it dead. But no, carry on.
You know what? I think the really difficult part is that it's both the employer and the candidate expect to use the CV in the hiring process. And it's a significant shift to get away from that. There's just an expectation. If you're looking for a job, the first thing you do is you type up your CV or resume, and then you go online and you find some jobs and you start sending that resume and that PDF out, and then, you know, the employers read it and then they get back to you with some more questions. And it's just the norm. It's expected on both sides of the fence. And even, you know, some of our best employers or best customers, they're employers and they've switched to, you know, no resume, no CV, just video, but they still have candidates wanting to send them a CV or a resume because that's just the way it is. And yeah, you're always going to have that. I think for at least the next 10 years, you're going to have at least one side of the party will be wanting a CV or a resume to exist in the process. And it's only the most forward-thinking organizations that will actually be able to remove it completely from their process. I think, you know, a lot of startups are doing that. You know, for example, Willow, we don't accept resumes when we're hiring. We just go straight to, you know, click on the apply now button on LinkedIn and you'll come through to a video interview. And I think that's probably what we're going to see first. It will be a slow evolution through the more forward thinking businesses. And, you know, we're working on that every day with our own customers to try and help them change the processes. But there's still a large number of our customers who have the CV at the very start of the process. That's the currency that they're accepting. And then they go into a Willow interview after that and then augment the resume or the CV with the videos. And that's kind of, yeah, to echo Phil's point, how it will probably look for a number of years.
I'm going to call that disappointing, but probably realistic. Yeah. in terms of your replies there. So that I'm reluctantly inclined to agree. Ewan, Phil, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was fun.
My thanks to Phil and Ewan. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, Recruiting Future Feast, and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.